Good afternoon, everybody. It's Christy Hutcherson on the front lines. It's nice to see you another Sunday episode. Today we have an exciting program, but first I want to talk to you about the MyPillow promo code we have. Mike Lindell 2.0 MyPillow. I actually personally have one of these pillows, by the way, and it's incredible. And I need you to go to MyPillow.com, promo code WFFA. That is promo code WFFA. There's so much stuff going on right now in our country. Title 42 went away. I've been on the front lines. I've been at the border. I've been in Texas, actually, everybody, for about, 17 to 19 days, getting some information and intel on the ground that you're not hearing coming out of the lying White House. If their lips are moving, they are lying to the American people. Me and my team are getting ready to go down to the border again this week. So I'm going to go live throughout the next 7 to 10 days. So not this Sunday, but next Sunday, please catch On the Front Lines with Christy Hutcherson, because you're going to see a lot of live footage of us at the border doing some operations. Sometimes it can get a little crazy. You never know who we're going to encounter and who we're going to tackle, me and my team. So you're not going to want to miss, not this Sunday, but next Sunday's episode. And again, I want to discuss what Title 42 actually meant really quick. Title 42 was during the pandemic. It was a way that they could keep everybody over in Mexico for the most part and not allow just anybody to enter into the country. They could vet these guys, even though there really wasn't a lot of vetting going on. It was a Band-Aid, but it worked, and it helped the law enforcement officers and the Border Patrol agents to keep a better control on who was flowing into the United States. It's making a difference. We need to bring Title 42 back, but we also have Title 8. And so Title 8 is a very important piece of legislation that keeps the Border Patrol agents to be able to continue to vet those who are coming seeking for asylum. And I'm going to get more into this in the next week or two, because I don't want to take a lot of time away from my incredible guest that's coming up. But I think it's really important for you guys to understand the impact of Title 42 going away. The rhetoric coming out of the White House saying that one of the things I almost laughed was the fact that Jean, the press secretary, she sat there and said that the Border Patrol is secure, safe. The numbers have significantly gone down. I think their numbers were like over 50, 60%. That's another lie that they're telling the American people. What they're actually doing is they created an app, even though the app is kind of broken. Remember the broken Obamacare app? It's kind of the same thing. But they have a system in place. They're working with the Mexican government. They are staging these illegals in camps on the other side, where they're coming up and they're filling out all the paperwork necessary, getting their so-called court dates, which, by the way, is anywhere from, right now it's around the 10 to 12 year mark before a judge will see them, 10 to 12 years from now. Then they're being put on buses and then brought over on the buses through the ports of entry from Mexico, where they're already given that paperwork. And then they're taking them into a city in a town near you, all over the United States of America. So they can now fudge the numbers even more, so you are not aware of who and how many are actually coming over to the United States of America. The other thing that's really important that I'm going to sound the alarm on before the next 2 weeks and my show airs on the border special is the fact that we have terrorists, known terrorists, on our terrorist watch list just 2 days ago, and somebody from the Afghan country government came over. These guys are Taliban members, death to America. They are Al-Qaeda. And they released over 5,000 of those Al-Qaeda members and ISIS members way back under Biden last year. And those individuals were let free into the country of Afghanistan. Make no mistake, we've already caught numerous of them trying to cross the border. Think about how many gotaways have come into the country. Also, Iran is coming into Venezuela. They are flying Iran's Revolutionary Guard and the Quds forces into Venezuela. The Venezuelan government then is giving passports and the right documentation to these Iranians to where they look like they're Venezuelans. They are embedding themselves into these caravans and then they are also coming over into the United States of America. It is not a mistake that our own federal government right now is conducting drills all throughout major cities in the United States, including Houston just a week and a half ago, 7-day drill on nuclear fallout. Hospitals around this country right now are doing mass casualty event scenario training. This is very serious, America. Christy Hutcherson on the front lines with Women Fighting for America has been reporting on this for well over a year and a half, sounding the alarm. I'm very glad that other news outlets are finally getting on board. But you heard it first here almost 2 years ago. Again, follow us on our border special. It will be aired actually not this Sunday or the next Sunday, but it'll be the third Sunday from now. I'm going to go live throughout the next couple of weeks at the border. Please follow us on all of our social media. Go to our website, Women Fighting for America. That's WFFA.WIN. Follow us and you will be able to catch me live in battle in the field, because that's what this is. It's a war. Again, I'm so thrilled to have our next guest. She is a dear friend of mine. I love her to death. She is a freedom fighter. She is feisty and she has a lot to say. Dr. Jane Ruby, welcome to On the Front Lines with Christy Hutcherson.
Hi, Christy. So happy to be here. I'm really honored. And I actually want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for, you know, for my family, the families of this country, for the work that you're doing. As I've gotten to know you in the last few months, I'm just blown away at the work you do, the intensity and your unrelenting dedication, because it's difficult and it's ugly. And I just God bless you for what you're doing. And thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you so much. You know, we're all in this together. We're warriors fighting. Each one of us, one of the things that I've loved so much to getting to know patriots like yourself, and Vandersteel Melke and all of us who have become really close friends, is the fact that we were all called to this. I don't think any of us ever thought in a million years this is what we would be doing, but we answered the call. And isn't that half the battle, is answering the call?
Absolutely. I mean, you really, that's an interesting observation about the four of us. And it's probably at the root of what attracted us to each other as sister warriors, fighters, because we recognize that in each other. You know, for me, my calling came back in 2020. I was hit with this thing, you know, the sort of news of this pandemic, and had never been exposed to anything like it before. And so I thought, whoa, I better listen. I'm medically trained. I know how to, you know, prevent getting this. I watched the movie Outbreak, you know, with Dustin Hoffman. And lo and behold, around the middle of March 2020, I became very ill, like flu-like, and followed my doctor's direction and had a test. And when he called me to tell me that this thing from China, that I was positive, I said, well, okay, you're going to prescribe the, I think all we only had hydroxychloroquine at the time. We didn't have ivermectin yet. And I said, okay, you know, medical person to medical person, you're going to prescribe the hydroxychloroquine for me and anything else you want me to have, and everything's going to be fine. You know, I'm not going to panic, because at that time, you know, the minute you got a positive, you were on the radar of the state health department. You had to quarantine. And, you know, Christy, this is a doctor that I worked with for 5 years in DC. I lived in DC for 10 years. This was my personal doctor. We were, you know, incredibly, you know, connected professionally. And he said to me, I can't do that, Jane, unless you're in an ICU. And knowing that that was BS, immediately that red flag, I said to him, well, why would you wait till I was that sick? And what he said after that, Christy, changed everything for me. And it was really the beginning of my calling, as you call it. And that is, he said to me after a long pause, Jane, you're going to have to tough this one out. Mm. And then he hung up on me. And I thought, whoa, something just changed in the world. And I started, you know, I was very sick. I didn't know if I was going to convert to a pneumonia and die like a lot of the other people on ventilators. I didn't know what to do. But through the grace of God, I made it. I was sick for about 5 or 6 weeks. It was a rough flu. And as I got better, I started to research and I started to look around. Why are they not stopping this? Why is the Department of Health, what do they care what we take or what we prescribe? I also knew it was a lie to say that you can't prescribe off label. That's a lie. I'm a prescriber. We have always prescribed off label. What's illegal is for a pharma company to promote off label. So I saw the lies early. I saw the changes And I thought something much bigger, way above a food chain, way high, is got something going on in lockstep here, and we're in trouble. And that was the beginning for me, really.
Yeah, you know, the nefarious activity, I mean, if we would have known what we know now from 2020, things would have been so much different. And, you know, like you, Jane, I have had COVID. I didn't ever do a PCR test. I was like, heck no, are they going to get my DNA and my data in their base? But that, just God put that in me, this discernment over what this was. Plus, I worked in DC. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things about my background too that I knew this was not right. This was about control. This was about the next step to usher in the beginning of the end of freedom and liberty as we know it in America, the Constitution. And, you know, it's a horrible illness, and a lot of people died unnecessarily. Like, I have never seen the mass murders, basically, is that what it was? As far as I'm concerned, it was mass murders across the world, not just the United States. And this was purposeful. That's what's really most heart-wrenching. This was purposeful. And a lot of great leaders, I know, like for President Trump, he was misled and led astray on this by Dr. Fauci, who is the death doctor. He should be behind bars and being held accountable for mass murders. China, the government of China, and the World Economic Forum and the CDC and the World Health Organization, they all should be held accountable as far as I'm concerned. So tell us, Dr. Jane, what was your next steps? Like, what gave you that fire to say, you know what, something's not right. I'm going to do my research, and then I'm going to get into this fight because I don't want anything to happen to my fellow patriots or Americans.
Yeah, I think it was the lockstep nature of how this thing was just happening in every country, every continent, every industry, that really blew me away. For your audience, a little bit on my background, so you know where I'm coming from. I'm a medical professional. I did practice in acute care settings like hospitals and ICUs for a number of years. Then I went on to finish my doctoral work. I have two doctorates. One is in a research degree in psychology. The other one is in higher education. I have two masters, a master's degree in nursing, which qualifies me to be a licensed nurse practitioner to sit for those boards that qualified me. And then a second master's degree in international health economics. I'm highly published all over the world. I've worked with the EMA in Europe, and I've worked with the FDA, the agency formerly known, I should say, as the FDA. And then I got recruited after running my own human research lab for a number of years, where I did those external trials for experimental drugs for pharma, big and little, for a number of years, where I wrote original research protocols and informed consent documents. And then I was recruited up into pharma because of the work that I did on a drug called LU054. I didn't even know what it was. And it was very successful. And long story short, it was a company called Pfizer. I never talk about my companies, but this company doesn't exist anymore, so I think I can talk about it. It was Forest Laboratories, rather, not Pfizer, Forest Laboratories. And it turned out to be the blockbuster Lexapro, which was the son of Celexa. So I had a great pedigree, 20 years across seven companies in the pharma industry, not a consultant or a patent specialist on the outside, but like Michael Yeadon and I are I don't even know anybody else who was inside pharma when our companies let the vendors go in the room, that, you know, the rest of us were the employees. So it was it's important, because when you're on the inside, you see all how the sausage is made. So I knew from that perspective, putting it together with my own COVID experience, I knew something was very different, very different. And I just started to, you know, I had a lot of contacts after living in DC for 10 years. I was still in DC, did a lot of shows, started to get the word out like a snowball rolling. Everybody knows I spent about a year and a half on the Stu Peters Network. I was put together with Stu by a mutual friend in DC who was very politically active, and it was the right combination at the right time. We were a natural match, and the attention grew to the messaging we were getting out. And I was breaking stories. I was put together with the first embalmer by a military source that was very reliable and trustworthy. And I developed that story. That was the embalmer that was having trouble embalming people and found those white fibrous clots. Now, the interesting part of that story is he tried to get somebody to analyze it, because I said, you're not going to go anywhere with this story if you don't find out what they're made of.
Yeah.
But I didn't want anything to do with it or the chain of custody, because I wanted it to be his finding, his work. I didn't want to have any influence over it. Now, he gave it to a number of frontline doctors who really didn't do much of anything with it. I believe he gave it to Dr. Artis. I've never seen a produced report. He also gave it to Dr. Ryan Cole, who sat on it for 12 weeks. And when I called him out on it, he said, hey, I was busy on the road. So when Mr. Hirschman, the embalmer, called me one night and said, I'm frustrated. I said, you know what? I know somebody we can call. Let me call Mike Adams. And I called Mike, and in a moment, he said, I'll do it. And as everybody knows, Mike has an ISO nationally certified lab. He handled the chain of custody with Mr. Hirschman, and he got the samples, and he produced several reports, some of which we put out on Alex Jones, on Mike's show, on my own show, the Dr. Jane Ruby show, that kind of was birthed out of my network work with Stu Peters. And the rest is history. That's over 3 million views just on Rumble alone.
Dr. Jane, for listeners, because, you know, one thing I have found, we all reach different types of audiences, and some people they might be hearing this honestly for the first time. I don't know how, but they might be. So can you tell them a little bit about what the implications of with these embalming victims, what that meant?
Yeah. And I have to start by saying that when I put pieces together, FOIA, people that have analyzed FOIA documents, people that have analyzed patents, that have matched those patents with actual documents showing that they were developed. Mm-hmm. The work of Team Enigma, looking at the lot numbers from VAERS and mapping out, finding discrepancies that statistics could only, the only answer is that even within the same lot number, there are different things. There could be different products, different dosages. Remember, these companies have not disclosed to us what they've put in these shots. So I've said to people, and here's the bottom line that begins to answer your question. There are many different things, and they're all unknown, in these vials within the same lot number. There were ethical hackers that got into Pfizer's system, not their website, okay, that the public has access. Their systems, and each company decides how many doses are going to be in a lot number. And Pfizer's records showed that they have at least 1.5 million doses. You divide that by 6 doses per vial, whatever. And many of those vials are not even in circulation yet, because what Team Enigma found was there was such a discrepancy in the numbers that statistics tell us that there are dangerous things in the same lot number, and there could be less dangerous things. There is no such thing as placebo. Let me just explain placebo really quick. That is a control arm of a randomized placebo-controlled double-blind study. That's the gold standard for establishing safety and efficacy. So people say, did I get a placebo? No, nobody got a placebo. It wasn't a study. It wasn't a randomized, legitimate randomized placebo-controlled double-blind study. You may have gotten something where the materials in there, I say materials because we've only been told there's mRNA. We don't know, but some people have found fragments, like Dr. McKernan, who's excellent, has found fragments, sequences, pieces of ribonucleic acid. So we don't even know what's in there, but we can tell you that some people have higher amounts of it, doses. It's toxic to human beings. Animals have never survived the studies with mRNA. That's why they never went on to human subjects. They jumped over it. But Christy, I believe from all of this documentation and so much more that I've been exposed to, that this is a we don't have pharma anymore. We don't have ABC agencies. Everything is now meshed in to the DOD. I don't even know what the DOD is anymore. I don't believe we have a government. I think it's in suspension. And they have taken all of pharma, and it is all one. And as Catherine Watts said, the WHO is not a health organization. Mm-hmm. It's the military wing of the UN. I'm sure you know this better than I do.
Yes, that is correct.
So,
and you know, when we look at somebody like Biden's administration, by the way, I believe they're trying to get around it through an executive order treaty to sign away all of our freedoms and rights, our medical freedoms, and more than just the medical freedom, by the way, it's all of our freedoms to the WHO, which will go into effect in June, because we don't have anybody in Congress who has been stopping this. Biden has been in office for over 2 years, Dr. Jane, and there has been so much on him that they could have enacted treason, not only treasonous charges, but impeachment charges against this president. And they have failed to act. And, you know, from a strategy and a governmental perspective, because that was my background, military and stuff, you have to understand that this is purposeful. They know that this guy could have been brought up on impeachment charges. But we have a government now that is completely sold out and sold the American people out for the most part. There's still a small handful in there, but they're just not enough to make a difference or an impact. So it's up to the people.
Well, this is, I'm venturing a little bit into your wheelhouse, but from the medical side, I've been told from a lot of officials and sort of intelligence people that when these illegals are coming over, they're getting handed a baggie with a plane ticket, some ivermectin, and a cell phone. Now, and they're being seated. I'm concerned that they're being seated in various places in the U.S. because the big question is, how are they going to enforce those treaties and that relinquishment of sovereignty over to, you know, because the rest of us are like, hell no, you're not going to get away with that. Just try it. Well, I don't know. Just try it might mean that we have to face, you know, the emergence, the uprising, you know, like monsters out of the ground of these people that have been trained and seeded. Why are they given ivermectin? Why are they not tested? Why are they not given vaccinations? Why were 8 million Chinese exchange students in 2020 and 2021 not required in the United States? And by the way, don't get me started on our Congress, because I've had a couple of tussles with Senator Ron Johnson, but I'm not going to single him. I'm going to lump him. I don't care if I offend anybody. You don't have a Congress anymore. Everybody is bought and sold. Christy, every single one of those people, I use the term loosely, sat silent while our military was decimated. I was taking the calls from people all over the country and other parts of the world. Our military members saying, Dr. Jane, are you sure I shouldn't take this? Are you sure it's not worth my career? What is in there? What's going to happen? I won't be able to provide for my family. And luckily, a lot of them left without taking it. And we'll be able to utilize their skills. But for those that took it, you know, talk to Dr. Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long. How many flight surgeons or fighter jets has this flight surgeon grounded? And yeah. I mean, you know, we're both in tears about it. That Congress has watched. You can't tell me they're doing anything. Rand Paul, Ron Johnson, Jim Jordan, they're all dog and pony shows. And that's all you've done, because you've not done anything. You have, and I told Ron Johnson this, don't give me that crap. You march the same usual suspects, you know, Malone and Cole and, you know, Corey, over and over and over again. You're not getting new information, bud. And you're not doing anything. You're a senator. You can bring those people in. You can tie them up in discovery. You can shut them down. You can stop them from conducting interstate commerce. Don't give me the thing that you can't do anything. You're all liars and sellouts. But you know what, Christy? If this country goes down, you know, I don't know what to say, but
this is it. When America falls, there's no place to run and hide. I've been to the communist countries and the Muslim world and the work that I used to do. And I can tell you right now, this is it. We are the last beacon of light and hope for the world. And there are sleeper cells. I have a very educated audience because they've been following me for over 2.5-3 years now. And we've been talking about the sleeper cells. We've been talking about the terrorists. 2 weeks into the Biden administration, we've been showing them the FEMA camps that they have set up. We've been showing them where they've displaced senior living facilities to bring in UACs, right? We have at-risk boys camps where they've displaced or purchased the property and turned them into fortified military private training camps. This is real, folks. Yes, they are bringing these terrorists in. They are bringing a replacement army because they know that it's going to be very difficult to pry guns and weapons out of the American people's hands. The Second Amendment is very important. That's why they're trying to attack it. That's why they're trying to take away our mags, right? Those magazines that they're going after, it's not because it's all of the rhetoric that they're saying from the collateral damage that they've purposely done and trained people to go in and do mass shootings. No, it's about the fact that they don't want you to be able to have 27 bullets in your Glock and be able to shoot people down and protect you and your family and your community. That's what that's about. So, you know, we have to protect ourselves. We do have an invasion. We do have individuals coming in. The WHO will be ushered in. And by the way, under the treaty that Biden just signed that'll go into effect in June, is the treaty will say it's not just about the next pandemic, which, by the way, Dr. Ruby, I do want to talk about that because we're hearing Marburg. I know over a year and a half ago, I was talking to some friends of mine out of China, and they had already shut down a city because they started unleashing this to test it. And so that's what's coming next. And I want to talk about what the dosage and what we need to do to protect ourselves from that. But the WHO will be able to, if there's unrest, civil unrest in the streets, mass casualty, something crazy that happens, an event, the WHO can actually then enact all of their protocols, including sending in the United Nations police force to drag you out of your house and put you in one of these camps, FEMA camps, right? Basically, it's nothing but another concentration camp. And I know you're hearing the same thing that I'm reporting on.
Okay, so let me unpack a few of those things. First of all, just to finish up on the Congress thing, when you say you're going in and you're showing, and I know you have access, you're showing critical people, these camps, these, you know, whatever. You know what? Here's my opinion. They already know. And okay, that's the most despicable thing, and I hope they all rot in hell for it. That's number one. Number two, Dr. Zelenko, who I adored, said I'd rather die standing than live on my knees. And you know what? If I have to go out, you know, because the UN guys have more guns, fine. I'm going out as an American and I'm going out defending myself using my Second Amendment right. You'll never get our guns from us. You'll take us out. But you know what? That's life. Had to go sometime. Rather die for my country. Now, on the gain of function, let's jump to Marburg. I want people to understand a couple of basic realities. First of all, my caveat is I don't know what they're cooking up in those kitchens. Okay. I don't know what Ralph Baric is up to next and Peter Daszak and all these other evil satanic pigs, but they could be cooking up something that kind of refutes what I'm saying down the line. We'll have to see what happens. But if they're still working along the lines, which I think in part they are, in terms of these, whatever these are, they're synthetic viruses. I don't, you know, let's not get into the virus versus not virus. That's navel gazing. But if they're cooking these things up, then according to a lot of experts I've talked to, a lot of the researchers on the team of Todd Callender, a lot of the work that Dr. Zelenko prepared us with, that things like ivermectin and HCQ will still make a difference. For Marburg, you might want to look at something like fenbendazole. But before we get into, oh, let's stock up our kitchens with this stuff, let me make a couple of things clear. Marburg is in a family called hemorrhagic fevers. You got yellow fever, Ebola, Marburg, dengue, and a couple of others, okay? Notwithstanding that I don't know what their technology is. They could drop something and I could get sick tomorrow with it. Okay. Even though I've done everything to avoid it. If you're talking about seeding it with people coming over on airplanes or, you know, jumping continents, the recovery rates are not as bad as you think. And I'm not saying this is an easy disease or you should kick back and relax. I'm saying you're going to get a lot of warnings before you're going to have to get real close and exchange body fluids to get these things from people. That's why they carried around their ivermectin and HCQ when they ran around, you know, these researchers and archaeologists ran around, you know, places in Africa and such. What I'm saying is it's not easy to catch. You're going to be warned. You're going to see it. You see people around you sick. There's a natural inclination to back away. So think about that. I've done a couple of shows, by the way, on hemorrhagic fever. So that people understand, first of all, I've heard this said by frontline doctors and I want to pop them one. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're not going to bleed out of every orifice. That's not why it was named that. You're going to get like petechiae. You're going to be sick. You're going to be tired. You're going to be, you know, you're going to have signs of illness. Okay. There is a high recovery rate. Not that you want to get it. So I'm saying that so people don't panic. And notice how the pattern is. Oh, there are two cases in Africa. The CDC just fired up. It's emergency warning. Step back. Take a lesson from what happened in 2020. And don't be so quick to knee-jerk react to this stuff. I'm going to resurrect some of those shows, Christy, so that people will understand, you know, forewarned is forearmed. When you have information, you can relax, you can settle down, you can discern these things. So I wanted to just say that about the Marburg situation. Let's not just, you know, freak out.
Well, you know, fear is of the devil and we don't need to live in fear, but you prepare, right? A properly prepared person is somebody who is armed with knowledge, with what to do in the event of an emergency situation. So there is no panic, right? You're properly prepared. And that's what we want to do, is properly prepare the individuals out there, the people out there, to understand that they're going to push a whole lot of stuff on you, just like they did with the COVID. And so if you're ready for their rhetoric, you will be armed with everything you need to do to push back. So you and your family will be protected on numerous levels, whether it's a new virus coming, whether it's this uprising of an internal army against us, you're going to be prepared. And so you'll know exactly what to do. Plus you'll have those tools. And we'll talk about that at the end before we get off, because I'm really excited to announce a partnership with some incredible, amazing Patriot women warriors. And one of those are on this call right now. So, you know, as far as next steps, what are you guys hearing? What is new information out there that maybe individuals don't know right now, Dr. Jane?
Oh, that's a great one. I think relative to, you know, to my lane of the medicine and the shots and all that, what one of the things I said in the Reawaken Tour recently, and also in some of my other shows and podcasts that I think you all need to know, is that there, while a lot of you are sensitized to this whole COVID shot booster thing, like, oh, I'm not going there again, or I never went there to begin with, and I'm not going to go near it, they're very clever. They took what they learned, and they're just, if you listen, it's all out there in plain sight. The information, what's coming with regard to shots, is that they are putting the mRNA technology, this toxic poison, in higher doses, and they're calling it like a combination, right? For your convenience. What does that mean? Oh, get your seasonal flu shot. People think, well, grandma's got to get her seasonal flu shot. No, nobody should get any shots anymore, because they're getting this poison into everything. People need to understand this is a mass genocide operation. We're moving into phase two, keeping everybody calm, going to Joey's soccer game Saturday, taking the boat out, quiet, take your flu shot. Don't worry. No, it's going to come in the form of, you're being told RSV is coming, this scary infection that took out two children in 1960, but they first got it approved a few weeks ago for what? For people over 60. Things don't add up. Pay attention. So they're telling you, look, we're going to do a combination shot. Flu, seasonal flu coming soon, RSV, and a COVID booster. So come and get it all in one shot. Or childhood, I want to make a comment about the childhood immunization schedule. It should be eradicated, disassembled. Before 1986, there were five or six things. Not even sure those things, like diphtheria and pertussis, were all that pervasive, more than they made us think they were. But now there are countless. It's page after page after page, because they figured out they could make money. But guess what? I guarantee you, all of you out there, that those childhood immunization shots are, many of them now already contain the mRNA. And very soon they're all going to contain it. So I'm talking about shutting down this entire vaccination farce 100% immediately. So that's what's coming, Christy, because they're just going to quietly keep getting this material into people. It's toxifying our environment. We're passing it to each other. Those of us who have not been injected are taking a little bit in. We're fighting it. Our bodies are still healthy. But eventually, if they saturate enough people with it, wittingly or unwittingly, they're going to start to saturate with whatever it is, because Pfizer admitted it in their investigators' brochure that something is transferred from the injected to the uninjected. Are they vaccinated? No, that's ridiculous. Are they? I don't know what they're getting passed on. Pfizer didn't say what it was, but they did say something was passed on, and they wanted it reported when they did a study with the 40,000 back in 2019.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Dr. Jane, but every single time I'm at a big event, and I'm with a lot of individuals around me, and one of my close inner circle people have unfortunately has drank the Kool-Aid and got every single booster shot, everything under. And every single time I'm around, I get very sick for a couple days afterwards.
I do too.
So, and it's so sad. You know, for those out there who have had the shot, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, fell to, and you know, you're not at fault. Please don't beat yourself up. And especially if you've given your children, but now you know, and we're going to talk about if there's anything you can do to combat what's already in your system. And you did make a really good point, Dr. Ruby, is the fact that not only are they now attacking every vaccine and putting all of this stuff, they're now looking at two things, putting it in all of our meat supply, chicken, poultry, beef. They're also trying to develop plant-based mRNA, where there's mRNA in the plants itself, and that we can now just consume it. So it's going to be very important for you to understand, everybody, that there's going to be things you need to understand. And then we're going to give you the answers of where you need to go. So you're not succumbed to this evil plot of basically extermination of the human race as we know it.
Yeah. And don't take my word for it. Stefan Bonsall, the CEO of Moderna, and Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, have come out publicly and said, bragging on the financial shows, hey, we're developing lots of different mRNAs and we're going to use them for all kinds of things, cancer, Lyme disease. And you can go to their websites and click on pipeline and you'll see Moderna has 44 new mRNAs, mRNA with a number, coming down the pipeline. Don't let them get away with it. Shut it down. Shut it down. If you want me to address the issue of what people can do if they've taken the shots, it is very sad, and I worry for people who've taken the shots. But let me say this. Remember, we don't really know 100%. We know that some people have died. We know that some people have been permanently injured and they're ill and they have chronic illnesses and there's some murkiness about whether it was connected or not. But let's just say this. Here's what I want you to know. If you've taken the shots, the very first thing you need to do, and stay with me, for pay very close attention, is you need to forgive yourself for making a bad decision. You're not a bad person, but I can tell you that you made a bad decision. Whether you were coerced, whether you were incentivized, it doesn't matter. You were not forced. And here's why that's important. If you accept responsibility for making a wrong choice, then you can begin to forgive yourself and you can re-empower yourself to avoid it the next time. And once you've forgiven yourself, you ask God for forgiveness, and then you can begin, once you get through that beginning of the spiritual healing, then you can begin to heal physically and emotionally. Physically, if indeed you got, I'm going to caveat, if you got mRNA materials, we do have preclinical proof that it gets into the human cells within hours. It embeds in your own nuclei, the DNA that's housed in there. And it combines, and there's a code to produce the spike protein. So when people say, I'm going to get the spike out. Well, you might get the spike out, but you didn't get the factory that makes the spikes out. And that's the concern I have. And they know, the FDA knows, that there's no known technology yet to turn it off or to replace it or to stop it. Not, it's not to make you paranoid, but what you can do is everything a lot of us talk about every day. Keep your body as healthy as possible. We don't know the extent to which God designed the human body. We don't know. God overcomes evil. God has known you since before you were born. He's known us as a human race. So he knows, excuse me, what to build in. So we don't know what we're able. If we keep our bodies in tip-top shape, good sleep, good water, good food, watching the food because they're trying to attack us through that as well. Taking your supplements, the Zelenko protocols. I'm not selling anything right now. Just saying, those five supplements are critical. Christy, you mentioned, you know, you get sick sometimes when you're around a lot of people that take the shot. Yeah. Clay has told me, which makes sense now, that his surveys reveal that a lot of people that go to the Reawaken Tour, for example, have taken the shots, regrettably, most of them. But here's the point of that story. You and I hugged 1,000 people, had to, out of 5,000 attendees. Other people didn't hug 5,000. They hugged maybe 10 or 20. We hug every time I come back from her. And this is not to make anyone feel bad. I do it lovingly and willingly. I was sick for 2 days. I pounded, I doubled my supplements, my NAC, my quercetin, my zinc, D3, my vitamin C. I pounded it. And today is like day 3 or 4 for me, and I feel totally back to normal. So it wasn't a cold or a flu or anything like that.
No, it's something that you can't explain. You just know you're not feeling well.
Right.
And your body's not, you know, it was interesting because when I got back on Sunday, I was just, I couldn't even open my eyes. And that
we were exhausted. Yeah.
Exhausted. And it is true. You know, we do keep vitamins, all of those protocols. And actually, what I would love to do is, if we could list off, some of the protocols that everybody just should be on every single day and the dosage, because a lot of people don't know the dosage, right? They don't know what to take. They're given wrong dosages because when you go over the counter, like the vitamin D and all of that stuff, they don't nearly sell you and tell you how much reality you really have in a dose. So why don't we talk about that really quick? Because I think that will be very helpful. And Julie, my team can take some notes and we can post it on our web pages.
Okay. So let me start out with a disclaimer. I have, because I am a licensed medical professional, that what I'm about to say is not medical advice. And it is not intended for you to take this advice without checking with your own trusted healthcare provider. So with that said, I'm going to tell you what I do every day. Okay. And remember, dosage has to do with absorbability. I'll give you really quick. Vitamin D3 comes in different forms. If it's from cholecalciferol or lecithin, which is derived from sheep's wool, it's a little harder for the body to absorb. So you're going to need a higher amount. If it comes from fish oil, I'm not talking omega-3s, that different type, but fish, if it says on it from fish oil, it's a better absorbability. You don't need as much. So everybody's got to test it out. I tested vitamin D3 for a year, and because I was a recovering cancer patient a number of years ago, I had them check my D3 levels, my hydroxy 25 levels, and I could track how much I was absorbing so that I knew where my proper dosage is. So everything I'm giving you is what I figured out for myself, okay? So vitamin C, I take at least 2,000 milligrams a day. And I do that in the form that I like, which is a powdered form. It's buffered because the kind of pace we run, my stomach gets upset easily, but 2,000. When I get sick, feeling punky, I may bump that to 3,000 or 4,000. I'm an old student of Dr. Linus Pauling, who was sort of the guru of vitamin C in the 60s and 70s. That's number one. The next thing I do for myself is NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which is a glutathione precursor. It usually comes in 500 or 600 milligrams in a capsule. I generally do one of those a day for general maintenance. But when I came back from the Reawaken tour, I doubled it and I did it twice a day. That's for me, okay? I also take quercetin, and quercetin usually comes automatically with bromelain, which is an enzyme that enhances absorption. Quercetin is something, as Dr. Z said, is a zinc ionosphore. What does that mean? That means that it enables, zinc is very, it's elemental. It's very difficult for your body to absorb metals in. And there's a reason for that. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't want you to be able to absorb metals easily, right? Hello, makes sense. So quercetin, we need zinc though, very desperately. Zinc is powerful against a lot of these toxic elements that they're, you know, whether it's in the chemtrails or they're dropping it in the form of a COVID or whatever they call it. So quercetin with bromelain, and that I believe comes in 600 milligrams. Again, generally that's one a day, but when I'm under the weather or truly sick, I double that. Excuse me. The next is the zinc, obviously. So I have different companies that I like. You have to do your own research and find what you like. But I take zinc in a microgram formula. And when I'm sick, I'll take two 22 micrograms tablets. And so that my quercetin helps the absorption of that. And then the last thing is my vitamin D3. Sometimes I take a cod liver oil, but it's very pure. It's certified. But I do take vitamin D3 capsules. If you talk to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, she tells you to push it up really high. I take from a fish-based, I take 5 5,000 international units. So that's 25 international units a day. And I will go a little bit higher than that. You can, because it's fat soluble, you can have issues if you take too much of vitamin D3, but I don't think it's that easy to absorb. Before, I've never heard of anybody getting D3 poisoning. It's a possibility. You like to warn people, but again, it's just really tough to absorb it to begin with. And the first year that I tried this with my blood values, my D3 blood values, I think I was taking like, you know, 5,000 a day, and my body was just eating it up. And when I got the values, I was, there's a range for your measurement of your D3 absorption called hydroxy 25. That's what you should demand from your doctor to get an order to have that blood test. But your range for D3 is about 30. And I think it's micrograms per deciliter or nanom something to deciliter. Don't quote me on that, but it's 30 to like 89, something like that. And after doing that for a year, the first year I was down around 40 and I thought, what the heck? Anyway, went back and, you know, adjusted my, and then I was well into like 60 or 70, which is where you want to be. That's great immune defense. So that's what I do.
Yeah. You know, for me too, I also add in a little, I do a B12 shot, a little B12 shot. I don't take the pill form. I prefer the injectable because, you know, we're on the road on the front lines. And for me, I'm at the border and I'm with, you know, people who are coming from all of these different third world countries. And the reality is, Dr. Jane, is that these people are bringing in cholera, smallpox, mumps, measles, tuberculosis. I mean, syphilis. I mean, all of these things, you know, nobody talks about that from the White House, do they? These individuals are bringing in, you think about this, and it's not the almost 6 million people, by the way, that's come over the border in 2 years. It's more between the 10 to 18 million mark, because we can't really track 100% of who's come in through the gotaways. And everyone just focuses on the southern border. Well, we have a northern border, an east coast, and a west coast border. So that's the numbers that we've tracked in reality. Think about all of the diseases that are coming in to the United States of America, including the COVID and Ebola. I mean, all of these things that we're not even discussing, but it's okay to keep those borders open and bring these diseases to the American population. And again, to get us ill and to depopulate us.
Yeah. If I were on the border, like you are frequently, I would definitely just start several days before, be taking hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, depending on what they're, you know, where you are. I mean, who knows where these people are from? And we're under attack. We're clearly under attack. If people can't see that, but the mainstream media does a great job of hiding this border invasion. And it's not, you know, I'm sure you can talk to all that, but.
You know, I'm so excited. You know, you've become more and more of a good friend, and I just love hanging out with you. You're so intelligent. You're a fighter. You're honest, and you have severe integrity, right? And those things are, to me, very rare qualities nowadays. You don't find that even within our inner circle. And so I personally value that. And more importantly, you're a Christian. You believe in the same God that I believe in. And you do this because God has called you and gives you all of those ingredients that you need to fight back and give truth to the American people. And quite frankly, not just America, this isn't just an American issue. This is a worldwide issue and problem that we're fighting for you two out there. I want to, if it's okay, if there's any else that you want to talk about, but then I also want to shift to a project that Mel Kay and Vanderstill, Dr. Jane Ruby and I are working on. We have about 6 minutes left, and I really want to talk about this because we can't do this alone. We can't do this mission. We can't come to you and give you all of this, all of our expert knowledge, our tools, our chest, our warrior chest. So we're going to bring our warrior chest to you at your gates, at your hometown, but we can't do it without you. We're going to be going on tour. Yes. Four incredibly brave warrior women coming on tour to a city near you. And we need you to donate and help us to come do that. It costs a lot of money to take a bus. It takes, you know, we have to pay for food, security, hotel rooms, material, training material to bring you our war chest and train you on what's getting ready to happen. So your family and your community are completely protected and geo-fenced. So let's talk about that, Dr. Ruby.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't begin to tell you. And also I will throw in, although I'm glad to do it because it is a calling from God, you know, away from our families and friends and everything we love for eight weeks. I think we're doing 8 weeks, 6, 8 weeks, whatever. But we do it lovingly. And I agree with you. And I could never have gotten to this point, Christy, to reach the number of people I do and everything that's happened every step along the way, if it wasn't for God. God's hand is on me. Believe me, Jane could never have done it on her own. Trust me. Tried it in DC in my little podcast and it didn't work. But anyway, very excited about this. I don't think anyone else is doing anything like this in our movement. You know, you get some of these frontliners, they're selling their products and they're showing up at the same conferences. That's not what this is going to be. I'm excited because we are for people with a purpose and that we are going to not only educate on in terms of what the risks are, but we're also going to, the other part of what we are coming to do in your town on this bus tour is to get, share the tools with you. I'm medical. We got geopolitical. We've got, you know, national security. We have, it's just unbelievable what the four of us bring to the table and we're going to bring it to you. So bring, you know, bring your friends and relatives, but yes, I'm going to let you, you know, lead in terms of, you know, we are literally just putting this together and we're going to have, you know, our information and our websites and wherever you can get to donate to this cause so that you can help, you know, fund it. You don't have to travel. We'll come to you. And we're really excited. We're still putting together the map of what this is going to be. And it's July and August, right?
July and August is going to be mid-July through mid, I think it's July, August, mid-September, 8 weeks. We are getting ready to set up the landing page where you can go. But in the meantime, if you are interested in helping to support and fund specifically the tour, it's basically an impact action tour. Please, you can go to my site or Dr. Ruby's site, donate, but we need you to do something very specific because the only way we're going to know that that's where you want your funds at this time to go to, you need to tell us this is to fund the Impact Action Tour. This money is earmarked for Impact Action Tour. We will make sure that that money filters into the tour proceeds. And again, we are currently setting up the bank accounts and all of those things because you know what? We just literally got together in the last couple of weeks and we want to do something different. We know from all of our intel and all of our information, something big is getting ready to happen and you are not prepared, quite frankly. And we want to prepare you in every way possible. We want to give you our knowledge, our insight, and our tools and teach it all to you so you can defend your family from every angle against what's coming. So please go to my website, WFFA, or text FIGHT to 91776, WFFA.com, or go to Dr. Jane Ruby's, that's Dr. Jane Ruby's site, and just say, hey, we want to fund the tour. If you want to be a sponsor, we have sponsorship packages. If you want to, all of those things, just send us an information. We'll get you that information out. Be patient with us. We're launching this. The first date is July 14th. July 14th, we will be in West Palm Beach, Florida. We already know the date, but we will give you all of the rest of the information. I know Mel Kay and Vandersteel, myself and Jane are very excited about this.
Yeah, let me clarify one thing. If you do reach out to me to advise me that you want to donate, please do that at my new website is literally it's being uploaded, which is taking several days. So I'm not sure where it's at, but go to my Proton Mail. It's drjaneruby@protonmail. Let me know what you want to donate. I'll funnel you where you need to go. And like Christy said, if you want something to go to, you know, her foundation, you know, mark that on the check. If you want it to go to the tour, mark that on the check. And because, you know, it's the appropriate thing to do. We keep our work separate, our donations separate, depending on what you want.
Right. But you know what we don't keep separate is we're collaborators. Though that's the one thing that I love about these four women. We want to collaborate. We don't want to work in silos. That's the problem. That's why we're getting our butts kicked is because we've been working in silos far too long. So we want to bring and empower the American people to fight back and to be ready, a force to be reckoned with, so to speak, with the storm that's coming. So Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so, so much. I love you. I can't wait to be on the road with you. Thank you for coming. And again, tell everybody really quick where they can go to find you and watch you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the front lines. I'm excited to be on the front lines with Christy Hutcherson. I'm on Brighteon TV every night, Monday through Friday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I immediately follow Anne, the great Anne Vandersteel, with Right Now in her show. And all of my shows are then uploaded to my Rumble channel. That's rumble.com/drjaneruby. You can see everything there and you'll never miss a coffee chat or an after talk. So thanks again for having me, Christy, and I'll see you soon on the road.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jane Ruby. So everybody out there, please email us at WFFA.win. WFFA.win is our website. Go to WFFA.win. And there's a way that you can volunteer. You can get involved. You can donate to the tour, or also to keep me on the front lines out in the field, eradicating not only human trafficking, but eradicating the evil of open borders and those who are wanting to undermine the sovereignty of this great nation. Your donations, 100% of your money goes to the fight. We love you guys. We want to secure this nation for the future of our next generation. And again, if you want to buy some merchandise, mypillow.com, WFFA is your promo code. And Patriot Mobile, that is my new sponsor and affiliate. I have switched. I've made the switch off the evil companies like AT&T and Verizon. Patriot Mobile, make that switch. Use promo code WFFA. That's mypatriotmobile.com/ WFFA. You will get a discount. And part of your proceeds go to supporting this great organization. Please catch us on the front lines every Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will see you live from the border. God bless you. God bless the United States. On the Front Lines with Christy Hutcherson.